Greenwich Hall 104.5 is home. What up, Nashville? The Thursday edition. Hope you're having a great day. Beautiful day in the Music City. Brent Daugherty with you alongside one Don Davenport. Let's go. Clearly, because she hangs out with us every day. At Don Davenport TN on Twitter. Talking a lot of college football today. We also had one pretty big nugget of an NBA story. Kevin Durant has asked for a trade out of Brooklyn, and second favorite in terms of betting for his landing spot, the Memphis Grizzlies, Ron Slay.
Hey!
You could play alongside Kevin Durant and John Morant.
Yeah, I'll get this spot up.
Morant, Slay, Morant. Durant, Slay, Morant.
Ron Slay!
It's the only.
Just get rid of slow-mo.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Kyle Anderson to move on.
Got no room.
Am I wrong to hate on him?
No. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. A little
why
bit.
Why are you
But I don't think it's really hate. It's just he's slow.
You can see everything that he's about to do and what he needs to do way before he does it.
It's still
productive. It's almost like you're watching a replay in live this feed.
I cannot debate that.
Like you are not wrong.
No, you're not.
But it's sometimes like you'll see a lane to the basket, and then he's like, oh. And then he'll like take, he's like, like the bionic man you were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
But he always gets to the rim.
Yeah,
and I'm like, how did nobody stop Kyle Anderson there?
Sometimes he's so slow, he's fast.
Especially if you add Kevin Durant to the mix.
Have you ever seen people that are so smart, they're dumb?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
No, it's a real thing.
But so that's what I'm saying. Maybe he's so slow.
I'm like,
and he's fast.
He's fast.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a real thing. Hey, speaking of, so my computer randomly, I don't know, just pops up like headline articles or whatever.
Yeah. Did you get the dogs come from wolves thing?
I did not, but I get this.
You'll make that.
Louisville 2-year-old becomes the youngest Mensa member.
Wait, what?
And then I'm like, damn, Baby Babs is behind. We got to get going. There's no way that she would get it. Score in the 99 percentile of the IQ test. Like we got, I take a screenshot of it. I send it to Mr. Babs. I'm like, let's go. We got to get going.
The best part of Hadley right now is that she's going through the no phase. Like everything is no, no, mom, no, no, no.
Unbelievable.
No. I'm loving it.
We went to, she has tubes in her ears. So we went and saw our buddy, Dr. Mantle today, who's Mickey awesome. Mantle? Dr. Mantle, he listens to the show, too. Oh,
what up, Doc?
Yeah. But anyway, so we went and saw Dr. Mantle, and you know, we were like, we get there. Hey, you ready to go see the doctor? He's going to look at your ears. No. Well, okay, we're going anyway. So here, hold my hand while we walk across the street. No.
Are you good to not see the doctor? No. Okay, let's go.
Yeah. She says
you need
no,
to start playing tricks on her.
Give mommy a kiss.
Right.
No.
My mom's playing tricks on me. Yeah, that's right. Means,
can you say hi? No. I'm right. Telling you. And it's like emphatic no. And now she started using her finger.
Oh. She got that one from mama.
She is your child.
Yes.
No.
Dawn uses her hands to talk, especially when she's mad.
A lot. And I don't realize what she picks up from me. Like covering her mouth when she laughs. I do that.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. The no finger, though, that I was about to cuss.
No.
I was going to say that Shiano is annoying.
You're about to cuss at your 2-year-old?
I was.
You won't be the only one.
I promise you.
See, everybody thinks their kid's the only one that's done something and that they're the only way. They're the only ones that have reacted that way to their children. And in reality, we all go through the
same
thing.
We're all in
thing.
The same boat. Mm-hmm.
James on Twitter, Arizona State should be incorporated and elect officials. That's a city.
That is a city.
77,000.
A lot of people.
So I mean, that's more than what Nissan Stadium holds.
So the Big Ten scores with the L.A. market. Here's the thing that people don't know about L.A. unless you've been to L.A. In L.A., you can completely fly under the radar if you're UCLA or USC. Now, if USC has Pete Carroll and they're scoring 8,000 points a game, then they become a popular, famous thing.
Yep.
But I've had friends that have gone to Tennessee UCLA out there where, like, no one in town even knows that game's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. If you're not the major sport, basketball, first of all, if you're not the Lakers, then you're not the Dodgers.
It's a pro sport now.
Like, yeah.
Well, but, I mean, what does USC turn into now with Lincoln Riley and
NIL? The Lincoln door's open to go get them now.
Yeah. The Lincoln Riley jokes were out there all day.
What?
About you know, he went to USC to escape the SEC, and now he's going to the Big Ten, another power conference. So now he's going to take the Arizona State job. And
that's funny.
So, yeah. So what does the SEC do next? Is the Big Ten done? I'm hearing the SEC will have some moves and that the Big Ten is not done. We'll see. Nicole Auerbach said she's hearing two super conferences with 20-plus members apiece. So we'll see. Notre Dame Athletic Director Swarbrick said in April, and then this was pulled back up today, he said D1 breakup is inevitable, is what he said back in April.
So who, if let's say we have two super conference, 20 teams apiece.
Yep.
Who else do you want added to the SEC?
Right. I was I was just paying the water bill. And somebody in there was like, you really think North Carolina's going to the SEC?
Is the bathroom attendant?
Yeah.
He offer you gum?
No, I didn't have any cash today.
Okay.
So
I know, let me see. I'm going to make a little list of what I want.
I think you put Miami on that list. Number one.
And then I did like y'all little mixture of the Carolina Duke.
Might as well go hard into basketball too.
Okay, if you're doing that, you're going hard into basketball, but football wise.
Well, you need some downtrodden.
But
you know, I mean, Vanderbilt can't be alone in this deal. If there's 20 teams,
then Vanderbilt's going to have to recruit against Duke without the, will you get to play in the SEC nugget?
You know, you'd be selling Nashville real hard at that point.
Yeah.
That's just.
Mm-hmm.
Jason says, while you're thinking about it, Slay, Jason says on Twitter, you could tweet us at 3HL1045. All this moving around will facilitate college football's golden age and then death.
Nah, I don't.
You ain't killing college football.
You're too attached to it. Like, you can be attached to pro teams, but if you went to the school or somebody in your family went to the school, you know that tradition, you're not leaving it. I'm sorry.
615-737-1045. I think from an SEC perspective, that's a good question. Like, who do you want to see next? Because Sankey's not just sitting over there playing Parcheesi. Like, he's ready to go.
And you know another school that if I'm the Big Ten, I'm going to try to go grab? Baylor.
Really?
Waco, like, they.
They have money. There,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a small town, but it's got tons of oil money, yeah.
And they got, they got tons of support.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, very supportive there.
Yeah, you got to go get somebody
some of their
in Big
stuff
Ten.
On campus. Yeah.
I mean, somebody in Big Ten. Big Ten got to go get somebody in Texas. Because if you don't, guess what? We ain't got no problem going to go take the whole state of Texas.
Yeah. Notre Dame, man. That's the one SEC-wise, I'm saying. And I know geographically it doesn't make sense. Nothing geographically is going to make sense in a monster 22 super 20-team conferences. Mm-hmm. But I just think, I mean, Notre Dame is the, like, that's like the little golden apple, right?
Okay, so that right there, though, would Notre Dame come to the SEC and kind of, I think they would feel they have a better shot of not playing second fiddle
in the Big Ten
than the SEC. Because you come to SEC, I mean, like,
but you have Ohio State and.
I think they feel they can compete with them. Recruiting anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Being in that area, you come down here. It's a little different.
It's a
little different game.
That's interesting. So I wonder what would I mean, it would make more sense probably, Notre Dame to be in the Big Ten.
I mean, geographically, but
Penn State, Michigan.
We've said geographically reasons don't matter.
Michigan.
I mean, now you've got the Big Ten with Rutgers flying to L.A.
Yeah, that's wild.
615-737-1045. Cousin Joey next up. Joey, what's up?
So, guys, you're saying, you know, who would you like to see the SEC bring in? Yeah. You know, and Dawn said this the other day when I called in. And she kind of, you know, took me to school on this. But I would like to see, you know, Vitek and Virginia. Like you said, Duke, North Carolina, Florida State, Miami, Georgia Tech. And even I would also go tap into, you know, the Big 12. And I would bring in Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. What I think would make two good additions to the SEC.
Mm-hmm. I like those two.
Oklahoma State's not bad.
I don't think Texas Tech bad.
Texas Tech's not bad either.
I'm with you. I might as well not stop.
Yeah, let's
with
go
one school
state.
In Texas.
Yeah, but the Big Ten can't let that happen.
You want? I mean, you got to do this based on geography and TV markets and things like that too. And that's the Big Ten getting USC and UCLA was very aggressive.
So it sounds like we're about to go north versus south. That's what it sounds like.
Right? I mean,
then just call the national title game the Civil War.
Let's get to it. Let's get to it. That's where it seems like it's going.
Greg Cosell, we'll step into a little NFL waters next, the best NFL film evaluator, and then we'll get back to college football. But we're going to continue the trek through the AFC South. We'll talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars with Greg coming up next. 3HL 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
These guys were 62 years ahead of their time. He pulled this off the Wikipedia. The proposed airplane conference, 1959. Although the term was not used at the time, perhaps the first super conference was the proposed airplane.
Gosh. That's
we're talking about
airplane.
We're talking about Arizona State all that time.
One and up on this plane.
Airplane Conference of 1959. The brainchild of University of Pittsburgh Athletic Director Tom Hamilton. The proposed 12-team conference would have stretched across the United States, would have consisted of five former members of the Pacific Coast Conference, Washington, Cal, USC, UCLA, and Stanford. The three largest service academies, Army, Navy, and Air Force, and four Eastern universities, Notre Dame, Pitt, Penn State, and Syracuse. The only thing that brought this down, the airplane conference failed to form after the service academies backed out because of the Pentagon's opposition to the idea.
Wow. That's some legit opposition, though.
Right. We're going to have USC, UCLA, Penn State, all these things. Pentagon said no.
Yeah. Meh.
If you're gonna get a no, might as well be from the Pentagon, right? Like,
yeah. I mean,
that's not one of those. Be like, wait, are you sure?
That's not a baby Babs no.
Yeah,
that's a legit no. We're well on our way to an NFL like collegiate football landscape.
Mm-hmm. Gonna get with Greg Cosell and Joe Hunk's getting with him, but obviously the biggest news of the day the story, USC, UCLA headed to the Big Ten announcement coming tonight. There is evidently a conference call with the remaining members of the Pac-12 scheduled with the commissioner. So we'll keep you updated. News coming down.
Hello.
Quickly.
Welcome into the conference. The conference that is dead.
Dang.
How you guys liking it?
He's gone.
Wow. Davenport.
It's dead now.
I know, but if I call a conference call and you answer the phone, I'm going to be like, uh-oh.
Got the right number.
Let's go to Greg Cosell with NFL Films and talk some NFL football as we continue our move through the AFC South. Talked about the Houston Texans last week. Going to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars with Greg today. Greg, what's up? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good.
Good.
Glad you're with us. Let me start here. The Washington Commanders have extended wide receiver Terry McLaurin. The deal is for 3 years worth up to $71 million in new money, making him one of the top five paid wide receivers. It includes a $28 million signing bonus, which is the most ever given to a wide receiver. I'm curious, based on tape evaluation of him, what makes, they call him Scary Terry, what makes him scary?
Well, you know, McLaurin's an interesting guy. He predominantly lined up outside for Washington. That's where they used him because they didn't have a great receiving core. He's also been there when they have not had great quarterbacks in his first 3 years. So he's put up big numbers. I think he's a three-level threat. He's certainly got speed. He played a lot of boundary X for them. I'm not sure he's a true boundary X. I think in an ideal world, he could be really, really effective if you made him a Z receiver, the movement receiver, get him in motion, get him free access where he can explode off the line of scrimmage. But McLaurin is a really good receiver. He's very, very competitive attacking the ball for a smaller receiver because he's not that big, so you don't think of him that way. But McLaurin's a really good receiver. I'm curious to see what they do with him this year. I think you might see more deeper shots now that they have Carson Wentz because he certainly can push the ball down the field. Because when McLaurin came out of Ohio State, he was not a big numbers producer, but he was a vertical threat, and he caught a lot of long touchdowns.
I'm curious, when you say boundary X, so what percentage do you think that we would see? Obviously, you won't have an exact number, but I'm just curious through tape study, what we're seeing trend-wise. Are you seeing most receivers play a specific position, or are you seeing more receivers move around?
I think you're seeing more receivers move around. More teams use motion. That's become part of what offenses do in the league. So you do see more receivers move around. You know, very often when people who evaluate college players into the NFL, I think they have a tendency to lock them into one position. Oh, he's a slot. Now, there's always a few guys who are like that, but I think overall teams don't see a player playing in one position in the passing games in today's NFL.
Since we were talking about the Commanders, you mentioned Carson Wentz. Why did he struggle so much with the Colts? I mean, I know part of it was health, but what did you see on film?
He didn't really struggle, Dawn. He had a bad couple of games and obviously a very bad last game when they needed to beat Jacksonville to get into the playoffs. There's something more there because he actually had a pretty solid season and had some really strong games. Now, down the stretch, the last couple of games, and this is why you know something was not right, is they kind of took the ball out of his hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So something was going on there. But he had some really good games, made some really good throws. I wouldn't say he struggled throughout the season. I think he had a few bad games. You know, usually, and these are just numbers, and numbers are numbers. You know, you can do with them whatever you want. But normally, you know, a quarterback that throws 27 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions, and I think he only had 4 interceptions with 2 games remaining in the season, you know, normally those kinds of numbers are pretty good. And the tape reflected that. He played pretty well through much of the season.
Let me ask you this.
It's going to be interesting to watch him. Sorry, go ahead. I'm fascinated to see what happens.
What was the biggest difference with him, what he had in Indianapolis to work with as far as the receivers? Because with that young bunch, T.Y. being in and out, and then going to the Washington Commanders now, and you got McLaurin, but, I mean, Curtis Samuel hasn't really ever kind of panned out, you know? So, I mean, like, what would make us think that he's going to be a little bit better there, you know, to try to get them over him? Or is it not even a thought?
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying?
What are the weapons?
Yeah, Ron, he's an interesting guy, Wentz. Because like I said, there's got to be something more that's going on.
Right.
Because if you just watch the tape, while he's certainly not, you know, you wouldn't say he's a top 5 quarterback in the league or anything like that, he's still got a lot of talent. He's a big kid who can move. He can make some special plays, as we saw last year. Yep. He can certainly drive the football down the field. You know, I think that he's probably not a guy that checks it down very often, and I think there's a sense that he needs to do that more. He tends to be aggressive, a little inflexible, but he certainly has not played poorly.
Right.
Now, he goes to a team in Washington that does not have by NFL standards, a high-level group of wide receivers. Obviously, McLaurin fits into that category as a real quality wideout, but I think they're uncertain as to, you know, the other wideout positions and what they're going to do with them.
You know, it's funny thinking back to the Carson Wentz and deal at the end of the season. Looking back at the Colts, like, they had won 6 out of 7. The only loss was by 7 against Tampa Bay, where Wentz threw for 306 yards.
Yeah.
All they have to do is beat the Raiders or win at Jacksonville, which they haven't done in a long time, and they lose both those games. I mean, just...
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think that's what people remember. And obviously, Wentz did not play particularly well in those games.
Crazy. I mean, they win one of those games to go to the playoffs. Maybe he's still the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, and the reason I say struggle, too, is because then you have comments like Nyheim Hines that... you know, what he said a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, they killed him.
Oh, just killed Wentz. I mean, his comment, Greg, was he's talking about Matt Ryan was he said, oh, he's not missing the layups. So basically saying that Carson Wentz would miss like the easy kind of layup throws.
Yeah. And Hines is an interesting example because Hines prior to last year looked like he was one of the better receiving backs in the league. Yep. And with Wentz, he did not get the target share that he had gotten in the last couple of years prior to that. And as I said, the one thing about Carson Wentz, I think that has always sort of bothered coaches is he's not really a guy that takes the check down mm-hmm. when appropriate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah. Kevin Byer got an interception where he should have done that. Yep. In a game against them. As we continue to roll through the AFC South, you guys talked about the Houston Texans last week. Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. ESPN did a list of surprise offseason standouts for all 32 teams. So the Titans player was Chig Okonkwo, the tight end. For the Jaguars, they listed wide receiver Laviska Shenault Jr., which kind of surprised me, but he did take a step back last year. He was second in the NFL with 8 drops. They say he had route running issues. Did you notice that on tape?
You know, I'm being honest, I didn't study him personally that closely. Mm-hmm. I remember when I did him coming out of college, and I thought he was a really intriguing player. He was big. He was physical. He could run. I thought he'd end up being better than he's been up to this point through his first 2 years in the league. Maybe with a new coaching staff, he can kind of revitalize and resuscitate his career. Obviously the drops are an issue, but I'm just being honest, guys. I didn't study him. I just thought, though, when he came out, that he was one of those guys you could move around your formation. You could line him up in the backfield. Again, I'm not, the thing is when a guy can do that, now everybody thinks he's Debo Samuel, and I'm not necessarily suggesting this guy's Debo Samuel, but I thought he was that kind of player when he came out, a player that could be a multi-location player within your formation. And as I said, line up in the backfield as well.
You know, it's interesting. In his last 5 years in college and pro, he's had 5 different offensive coordinators.
Wow.
I always wonder how locked up that makes a player.
It's brutal.
Really locked up because it's a whole different deal mentally to keep having to learn different offenses and different terminology. It's like it'd be like every year. OK, so let's say you decide, hey, I want to study French, and you study French. And then 6 months later, it's, oh, no, French doesn't work. Now you got to know Spanish, and you got to know in the next 2 weeks. And next year, now you got to know German. That's what it's like sometimes when you're asked to learn very quickly different terminology.
That's a great point because I took French in high school, and I took Spanish at Auburn,
and some of the words are very similar, just like in an NFL offense.
And you get them confused, and then ended up having to drop one of those Spanish classes during season.
Nobody hit drop an atom like Don Davenport.
I was a genius at it. So yeah, that's a great comparison, Koso. Okay, let's talk about, of course, Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, 12 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, was sacked 32 times. What did you see on tape in that rookie year?
The problem for Lawrence, and this is not his fault, is the way he was talked about by people, that he's a generational player, and his tape did not show that. His tape showed that he was a good prospect who had some things that clearly needed to be cleaned up and worked on, which is normally the case for most players entering the league and certainly for most quarterbacks entering the league. So everybody just assumed that we've never seen anyone like this guy, in years, and that's just not who he is. So, he played behind a poor O-line. They did not have a lot of weapons. Their defense was really bad. So he was put in arguably one of the worst situations you could be put in as a rookie quarterback. There have been a lot of studies done because this is what teams do. I don't work for a team. I don't have to do these studies, and it's not the best use of my time. But there are studies that have been done that show that the best indicator for rookie success for a quarterback is the quality of the rest of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a bad team, just like Zach Wilson was on a bad team. So Trevor Lawrence struggled. He had some good moments and some moments where the flaws that showed up on his tape really stood out because it was just there was too much pressure. He's a strider. You have to understand this about the way he throws. He's a strider. who has not a long delivery, but not a compact delivery. So he needs space in front of him to throw the football. Otherwise, he rushes his mechanics, and the tendency is that he then becomes a little high, a little scattershot high. And that's one reason why they did what they did in free agency in the draft. They signed Brandon Scherff to play right guard. They drafted Luke Fortner from Kentucky. I thought, to me, he was the best center prospect in the draft. You know, because the interior of your O-line sets the depth of the pocket, and he needs a lot of room in front of him.
Greg, with what they had, as you're talking about the weapons and now, you know, stabilizing the line, the offensive weapons on the outside, the wide receivers, you know, outside of Marvin Jones, he did what he did, whatever he could do. But now they kind of answered that. When they got a guy, Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, what do they bring? Because when I was watching Jacksonville, each game they would have a different, and my, a little bit of this is because I was playing fantasy football, but every game they have a different receiver. It was inconsistent.
And that's a problem too. You know, and you have to keep one thing in mind too. Trevor Lawrence in college, there were a ton of bubble screens and tunnel screens. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence was not under duress hardly ever in college.
Right.
A good friend of mine who broke him down, an NFL coach who broke him down, said that there were only 34 throws in his last year in college where he was under any kind of duress at all. Mm-hmm. Think about that, 34 mm-hmm. throws. So, you know, he had to work through all that in the NFL. The NFL is a different game. So now they have Marvin Jones, who was, you know, there last year, but he's a quality wideout. Christian Kirk, who they signed, who can play inside and outside, and it does have vertical ability. Zay Jones, who's a real solid possession-type receiver. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're counting on Chenault to be better and to be a factor. They signed Evan Engram, who's got a lot of ability, but just hasn't really – he's been injured all the time. Mm-hmm. And Dan Arnold's actually a pretty good receiving tight end. So the weapons are better, and I'm very curious to see what they do with Travis Etienne, who I think, you know, from what you read, they split him out quite a bit in the offseason. He does have that kind of ability.
With what does Doug Peterson bring something totally different to this? The way he coaches, what you've seen on film from his games?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Doug's a really solid offensive coach. Okay. You know, he's from the Andy Reid school. It's that offensive playbook. That's a lot of defined throws, defined reads and throws, and I think that will help Trevor Lawrence.
Interesting. Defensively for the Jags, Josh Allen is a guy that we loved at Kentucky. Really showed an immediate burst his rookie season. 7.5 sacks led the team last year, 12 tackles for a loss. Do you see growth with him? What do you see from Josh Allen?
I think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
And I think they look, you know, we talk about the wide receivers addressing that position. They certainly address their defense. You know, Josh Allen, as you mentioned, Brent, he's a very good player. I think if he was surrounded by better people, you could see his numbers go up. And they drafted in the first round, obviously the first pick in the draft, Trayvon Walker, then Devin Lloyd, two players who will start for them. And a really under-the-radar signing and a really good football player is Foye Oluokun, who they got from Atlanta, a three-down linebacker. He was a safety in college. He's very athletic. You know, he's not the kind of player people know or people talk about, but he's a really good player.
In terms of the secondary, they produced – I went back and looked at this. They produced 5 interceptions, the secondary, last year for Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's probably not very good.
That's not very good. They've got to get better there, right? Like,
that's probably not great.
And I'm willing to bet that you didn't just take, like, multiple days to sit down and watch the Jacksonville secondary.
No, but I know the players. I mean, Tyson Campbell was the rookie out of Georgia. You know, I think he had a learning curve last year because he was beaten in ways that you would not expect him to be beaten given his physical attributes. And that means he's just struggling to process, struggling to play to his ability, probably overthinking. But he's very, very gifted and talented. And, you know, Shaq Griffin is the corner opposite. He's been a good pro for a number of years. I think they would really like their third round pick a year ago from Syracuse, Andre Sisco, to be a starting safety because he's got very good ability and he can play the back end, which would allow Rayshon Jenkins, who's got good size, to be more of a box player and play a little more downhill. So I think they've got players who are young, and if they continue to improve, they'll be better in the secondary. But you're right, 5 interceptions is not going to get it done.
There he is. Yep. He's Greg Cosell, at Greg Cosell on Twitter. When you were running down how bad Jacksonville was around Trevor Lawrence, you didn't mention the drama surrounding the head coaching position last year, which he won't have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, and clearly that does not help. You know, I've been around Trevor Lawrence. He's a really impressive kid. He's all football. He'll be a good player. It's just, you know, unfortunately, people, you know, put him on Mount Rushmore. And you know, if you talk to coaches, and I watched the tape, so I saw it, but even coaches will tell you that he was not that guy. You know, good prospect, but not that guy. And he had to bear the burden of that, you know, oh, my God, this guy's generational. And, you know, you should never talk about any college player like that because they've never played in the NFL.
Greg Cosell, at Greg Cosell, NFL Films. We'll
keeping
hit
it real.
We'll hit on the Colts next week with you, Greg. Appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cosell. Yes,
appreciate Greg. You can watch Zone TV, Twitter, Facebook Live, YouTube, and Twitch.
Twitch, please.
You can watch us live there. When we come back, John Breach with CBS Sports had a top 10 list, several of them. Top 10 NFL coaches. Where's Vrabel? Top 10 safeties. Where's KB? Top 10 backup quarterbacks. Where's Logan Woodside? We'll be right back. HL 104.5, this Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, Ron Slay with you at 3HL 104.5 on Twitter, at Ron Slay 35.
Yes.
You having trouble over there?
No, I'm good. I just got hit in the eye. But I'm cool.
It's funny how we get hurt at work. Like, we'll hit our knee on the desk. Like, I think a lot of cubicle people understand that pain.
Without question. Yes.
And then sometimes when we put our headphones on, things get popped real fast. Like, you lose control, and then they pop you right in the eye.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Don Davenport, how are you?
Hi. Rocking it.
I always thought she said hi, like, ooh. Mr. Miyagi.
Hi.
Hey.
Pouring down.
Storms are moving from east to west into downtown Nashville. That is not a normal thing, so look the hell out, is what I would say.
Well, and there is a ton of people downtown for the Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Joan Jett, Poison concert as we speak, and they are currently in a weather delay.
Where are they performing?
Nissan.
Oh, they're at Nissan.
Outdoors.
What are the Woo Girls going to do?
Woo! I don't know. They better be Kirk Franklin at Bridgestone.
The Woo Girls, they don't even need Nissan Stadium.
No. If there's a rain delay, maybe Joan will come hang out.
Yeah.
Slay's like, we're moving on from Joan.
Slay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was her name? Joan Kirkland? Is that what I came up with?
Yeah.
Top 10 safeties for 2022. I love lists. John Breach with CBS Sports. It's list season for sure. Top 10 safeties for 2022. Number one, Kevin Byard.
Really?
Tennessee Titans.
That's what's up. I was just going to say, where do you think Byard is? I was going to say like two or three. Oh, my.
Number two, Derwin James. Love him with the Chargers. Jesse Bates with the Bengals. Yeah. Justin Simmons with the Broncos. Marcus Wilson with the Ravens. A lot of AFC safeties.
Mm-hmm.
Buda Baker.
It's list season.
Yeah, Buda Baker, number six with the Cardinals. First like NFC Buda. Guy. Antoine Winfield Jr. with the Bucks. Tyron Matthew with the Saints now.
What a badger.
Remember, Honey Badger back in New Orleans.
Back home, baby.
Back in Louisiana. Jordan Boyer, Bills, Adrian Amos, Packers. Top 10 NFL head coaching rankings for 2022.
Mike Vrabel, number one.
No. Andy Reid, Chiefs. Sean McVay, number two.
Wow.
Shouldn't Sean McVay be number one? He won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, especially I know you don't judge a person on one play, but that playoff game, man, when he chose to go for two instead of kicking the field goal.
Right. I just think, like, if you're judging coaches, maybe go with the best guy. Like, the guy that won the Super Bowl as the number one guy.
You have to.
But they have number two. Bill Belichick, number three. Mike Tomlin, four. Tomlin figured out a way to have a season with Big Ben, who couldn't throw it anywhere.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Big Ben couldn't hit the giant cardboard Coach Mac in this studio, and there's two of them. And they still won games.
Damn. Hold on, Big Ben. But you ain't wrong.
He couldn't throw the ball down the field.
You are not wrong. You're not wrong.
John Harbaugh, Ravens, number five. Sean McDermott with the Bills, number six. Matt LaFleur, former Titan offense coordinator, number seven.
Everybody.
Pete Carroll, eight. Kyle Shanahan, nine. Coming in at number 10, Titans coach Mike Vrabel.
Dang,
Vrabel. Top 10.
After everything he went through?
How was Mike Vrabel not higher than 10? using more players on a roster than any NFL team in history, losing Derrick Henry, still winning the AFC in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Number one seed. That's higher than 10, man. Sorry.
That's tough right there. That's a tough peel right there.
Here's another tough peel.
Oh, you bring more in, man.
Top 10 backup quarterbacks. I'm looking for Logan Woodside here. Top 10 backup quarterbacks. Number one, Jimmy Garoppolo, which, I mean, I guess technically I hadn't lost a job yet.
I know. Like, what? Wait a minute. Hold on. Trey Lance got the job. Okay, let's do it.
I mean, according to this guy. Baker Mayfield, number two with the Browns. He may not even play next year.
Yeah, still the top backup.
Teddy Bridgewater, Dolphins.
Like that.
Nick Foles, Colts. Nick Foles, Colts. Colts. Can't do it.
Colts. Yeah.
Colts.
Yeah,
Foles, Colts.
Colts.
There, I did it. Moving on. Gardner Minshew, 5 with the Eagles.
Yeah.
See, that would have been a fun one. Talking about all the chalk outlines that Logan Woodside's put people in that have come here and tried to beat him out. Gardner Minshew coming here, battling Logan Woodside would have been fun.
With the mustache.
Boy, I'd have been all in on Woodside. No, I wouldn't. I like Minshew.
I kind of like Minshew.
Yeah. Ooh. Good story.
Just because he's...
Oh, you would have gone Minshew in that... Uh-oh.
No.
Logan Woodside didn't get worried about that.
Fan club.
Don't you worry.
Taylor Heineke, Commanders, allegiances. Number 6. Case Keenum with the Bills, number 7. Jacoby Brissett, who actually may be the starter, number 8 with the Browns. I think he will be the starter.
This should be hard, too.
Andy Dalton, Saints. Tyrod Taylor, Giants.
Darn.
No Logan Woodside.
Come on, man.
Top 10 backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
I guess that's good because they don't get to see Logan. That's why he's not on the list. Because Tannehill is always out there. Good job.
I would like to see Don Davenport's top 10 backup quarterbacks in the NFL list.
You know what I want to know from Babs?
Logan Woodside is number 1.
There we go.
I'm kidding. What do you want to know?
What do you want to know? Sly?
Are you going to jump out there on that limb with me after talking to Cosell and talking a little bit with Coach Mack about the Jaguars finishing 2nd in the AFC South?
Did you tell Mayor this?
Yeah, he told me yesterday.
Yep, I think so. Yep.
I'm not with it.
No.
I think the Jags finished 3rd. I think they finished ahead of the Texans.
No.
See, this is Slay's hatred for Matt Ryan. Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. Sports hatred. This is his pick, though. Your pick is Jags 1, Titans 2.
No.
Titans 1.
Yeah.
Jags 2.
Yep. Colts 3.
Colts 3, Texans 4.
Yep.
Man, Cosell talked up the Texans and Davis Mills.
He did.
He really liked Davis Mills. Yeah, he liked him.
Yeah, like, maybe I need to switch them.
Yeah, he'll make you step back and think a little bit.
I just think, though, like, with Trevor Lawrence.
What have the Jags done
lately?
Defensively?
Oh. Well,
they had 5 interceptions in their secondary. I know that. I looked it up.
Oh, yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's very bad.
That ain't good.
I just know with them offensively, if you get some stable pieces like they have at running, they got 2 very good running. Well, 1 didn't play, but potentially 2 really good running backs.
Right.
And Robinson and Etienne. Evan Ingram, if he can do anything with those guys on the outside, like that's all right, man. Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones.
Okay, but is this really fueled by your hatred of the Colts and Matt Ryan?
It's me actually thinking that people are overselling the Colts.
Oh.
A lot of people
think Colts are going to win the division.
And part of that has to do with...
And now they added a guy in Matt Ryan. Like that, I don't know why he just became the savior. Like, how he going to carry you to promised land?
Well, I told you, Nyheim Hines is all in.
Yeah, because he wants some individual pub.
Well,
like he want to get the ball. I feel him because remember last year when Coach Mack came on, we were getting ready to play the Colts. He raved about Hines.
Yeah,
and we talked about him the week after and was like, "Hey, Coach Hines didn't really do that much." He was like, "Well, he didn't get the ball either." So,
well, he's I understand what you're saying, but he's also comparing Matt Ryan to he said it's been like playing with Andrew again, Andrew Luck.
And we know that ain't true. So I don't know what Hines talking about. Andrew Luck is good. And I didn't like him either. But he was good. Matt Ryan ain't good. Like, let's just all be real, people. Matt Ryan's not good. The Colts are all right. They ain't really that good either.
There are very few things I love in sports more than your disdain for Matt Ryan.
It just ain't nothing, man.
You're wearing his colors, red and black.
Hey, no more. They got him out of there. They couldn't wait to get him out of there.
That's right. Derek and Smyrna next up about backup quarterbacks. Is that right, Derek?
Yes, that's correct. You guys hear me pretty good?
Yeah, man.
Okay, I like that list, honestly, and I'm a fan of Logan Woodside, but I believe that he should not be above any quarterback that was a former starter with a backup quarterback behind him. And it sounded like everybody on that list was a starter for a team at some point in their career. And I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the Wiz. I was just kind of joking around about Logan. And I love Logan, but he's not a top 10 backup quarterback just because
he's never had a chance to show anything.
And he don't need one. I mean, like, I'm like, he do deserve a chance if that's what he want, but just don't deserve it here. You don't need it here because that means
Logan
something's wrong
Woodside
with the starter.
Gets a chance, then bad things have happened.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, bad things.
Like what?
Like bad. I mean,
multiple players.
Yeah.
You put a receiver there?
No, I'd see the rookie before I saw Logan Woodside. I'm telling y'all, I would have a package for Malik Willis.
You know where I'm at with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sit down, chill, Malik. We'll be all right.
No, I want him. Third and one. Put him out there.
He wanted to take some heel package.
Little red zone package. Heck yeah, dude. I went to entertainment.
Tannehill's a runner.
Like, if they put Malik Willis out there on, like, second and four, you're not telling me, oh, I'm going to go get a sandwich. Hell no, you're going to move to the front of your chair. Let's see what this kid's got. Like, what are they going to do here? Man in motion. He fakes the handoff, takes off running. I don't know.
Yeah.
Parker on Twitter, I'm sorry, brother. You know I love you, but Matt Ryan is not a bad quarterback.
I ain't say he was bad. He's a
choke artist. There is a difference.
That's all I'm saying. He ain't the guy that they think he is. That's all I'm saying.
You have said he's a bad quarterback.
He's Nathaniel. He might as well change his name to Nathaniel because he ain't Nathan. If you want me to be all the way real, Matt Ryan ain't Nathan. He ruined people's dreams, man. You know the celebration that was going to take place in Atlanta. They could never get that feeling back.
He ruined people's dreams.
Yeah, the Braves gave him a little bit.
It was all his fault.
Shanahan should have run the ball instead of thrown it when they had, 28-3?
Felt like 38-3.
It did.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody knew it was over.
I get where you're coming from, though, because it's a combination. Like, everybody hates the Patriots.
Right.
So if you hate the Patriots, you're like sitting there like, are they really going to do this?
And yes.
Seriously?
Yes. Thanks to Matty Ice.
Down 28-3?
Now you just carry this.
Julio Jones making ridiculous catches?
Okay.
I feel you, Slay.
I can't wait till they finish third.
All right, big story of the day. We'll talk more about it when we come back. We want you in here. Your reaction, USC, UCLA to the Big Ten. What other moves happen? Who do you want to see in the SEC? Because they ain't done. 615-737-1045.